Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, July the 25th, 2019. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue to see around us day by day the closeness of the time to come. We are grateful, so grateful, that you have informed us way in advance of what will be and what we should do to prepare for that time. Today we come again asking that you would continue to strengthen us and to guide us in the path of righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We spent quite a while taking a look at some of the articles written about what is happening today and the fulfillment of all that God has told us in His Word. I'd like to take a look, however, in the book Testimonies Volume 9 today, beginning at page 11, and paragraph 1, which deals with the last crisis. That is the last crisis, the book that we're taking a look at today. Testimonies, volume 9, page 11, paragraph 1. Here's what this says. We're living in the time of the end. The fast fulfilling signs of the times declare that the coming of Christ is near at hand. The days in which we live are solemn and important. The Spirit of God is gradually but surely being withdrawn from the earth. Plagues and judgments are already falling upon the despisers of the grace of God. The calamities by land and sea, the unsettled state of society, the alarms of war are portentous. They forecast approaching events of the greatest magnitude. The agencies of evil are combining their forces and consolidating. They are strengthening for the last great crisis. Great changes are soon to take place in our world, and the final movements will be rapid ones. The condition of things in the world shows that troublous times are right upon us. The daily papers are full of indications of a terrible conflict in the near future. Bold robberies are of frequent occurrence. Strikes are common. Thefts and murders are committed on every hand. Men possessed of demons are taking the lives of men, women, and little children. Men have become infatuated with vice, and every species of evil prevails. The enemy has succeeded in perverting justice and in filling men's hearts with the desire for selfish gain. Justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. In the great cities there are multitudes living in poverty and wretchedness, well nigh destitute of food, shelter, and clothing, while in the same cities are those who have more than heart could wish, who live luxuriously, spending their money on rich furnished houses, on personal adornment, or worst yet, upon the gratification of sensual appetites, upon liquor, tobacco, and other things that destroy the powers of the brain, unbalance the minds, and debase the soul. The cries of starving humanity are coming up before God, while by every species of oppression and extortion are piling up colossal fortunes. On one occasion, when in New York City, I was in the night season called upon to behold buildings rising story after story toward heaven. These buildings were warranted to be fireproof, and they were erected to glorify their owners and builders. Higher and still higher, these buildings rose, and in them the most costly material was used. Those to whom these buildings belong were not asking themselves, how can we best glorify God? The Lord was not in their thoughts. I thought, oh, that those who are thus invested the means could see their course as God sees it. They are piling up magnificent buildings, but how foolish in the sight of the ruler of the universe is their planning and devising. They're not studying with all the powers of heart and mind how they may glorify God. They have lost sight of this, the first duty of man. As these lofty buildings went up, The owners rejoiced with ambitious pride that they had money to use in gratifying self and provoking the envy of their neighbors. Much of the money that they had invested had thus been obtained through exaction, through grinding down the poor. They forgot that in heaven an account of every business transaction is kept, every unjust deal, every fraudulent act is there recorded. The time is coming when, in their fraud and insolence, men will reach a point that the Lord will not permit them to pass, and they will learn that there is a limit to the forbearance of Jehovah. The scene that next passed before me was an alarm of fire. Men looked at the lofty and supposedly fireproof buildings and said, "They are perfectly safe." But these buildings were consumed as if made of pitch. The fire engines could do nothing to stay the destruction. The firemen were unable to operate the engines. I am instructed that when the Lord's time comes, should no change have taken place in the hearts of proud, ambitious human beings, men will find that the hand that had been strong to save will be strong to destroy. No earthly power can stay the hand of God. No material can be used in the erection of buildings that will preserve them from destruction. When God's appointed time comes to send retribution on men for their disregard of His law and for their selfish ambition, there are not many, even among educators and statesmen, who comprehend the causes that underlie the present state of society. Those who hold the reins of government are not able to solve the problems of moral corruption, poverty, pauperism, and increasing crime. They are struggling in vain to place business operations on a more secure basis. If men would give more heed to the teaching of God's word, they would find a solution of the problems that perplexed them. The scriptures describe the condition of the world just before Christ's second coming. Of men who by robbery and extortion are amassing great riches, it is written, "Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth, and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts, as in the day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you." James chapter 5, verses 3 through 6. But who reads the warnings given by the fast fulfilling signs of the times? What impression is made upon worldlings? What change is seen in their attitude? No more than was seen in the attitude of the inhabitants of the Noachian world. Absorbed in worldly business and pleasure, the antediluvians knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Matthew 24 and verse 39. They had heaven sent warnings, but they refused to listen. And today the world, utterly regardless of the warnings of voice of God, is hurrying on to eternal ruin. The world is stirred with the spirit of war. The prophecy of the 11th chapter of Daniel has nearly reached its complete fulfillment. Soon the scenes of trouble spoken of in the prophecies will take place. "Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. The mirth of tabret ceaseth, the noise of them that rejoice endeth, the joy of the harp ceaseth." Isaiah 24, verses 1 through 8. Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. The seed is rotten under their clods, the garners are laid desolate, the barns are broken down, for the corn is withered. How do the beasts groan? The herds of cattle are perplexed, because they have no pasture. Yea, the flocks of sheep are made desolate, the vine is dried up, the fig tree languisheth, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. I am pained at my very heart. I cannot hold my peace, because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Jeremiah 4, verses 19 and 20. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heaven were fled. I behold, and there the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down. Alas, for that day is great, for that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Jeremiah 30 and verse 7. Not all in the world have taken sides with the enemy of God. Not all have become disloyal. There are a faithful few who are true to God. For John writes, here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Revelation 14 and verse 12. Soon the battle will be waged fiercely between those who serve God and those who serve him not. Soon everything that can be shaken will be shaken, that those things that cannot be shaken may remain. Satan is a diligent Bible student. He knows that his time is short, and he seeks at every point to counterwork the work of the Lord upon this earth. It is impossible to give any idea of the experience of the people of God who shall be alive upon the earth when celestial glory and a repetition of the persecutions of the past are blended. They will walk in the light proceeding from the throne of God. By means of the angels, there will be constant communication between heaven and earth. And Satan, surrounded by evil angels and claiming to be God, will work miracles of all kinds to deceive, if possible, the very elect. God's people will not find their safety in working miracles, for Satan will counterfeit the miracles that will be wrought. God's tried and tested people will find their power in the signs spoken of in Exodus 31, verses 12 through 18. They are to take their stand on the living word. It is written. This is the only foundation upon which they can stand securely. Those who have broken their covenant with God will in that day be without God and without hope. The worshippers of God will be especially distinguished by their regard for the fourth commandment, since this is the sign of God's creative power and the witness to his claim upon man's revenge, reverence, and homage. The wicked will be distinguished by their effort to tear down the Creator's memorial and to exalt the institution of Rome. In the issue of the conflict, all Christendom will be divided into two classes: those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus, and those who worship the beast and his image and receive his mark. Although the church and state will unite their power to compel all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, will be forced to receive the mark of the beast. Yet the people of God will not receive it. The prophet of Patmos beholds them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God and the singing the songs of Moses and the Lamb. Fearful tests and trials await the people of God. The Spirit of God is stirring the nations from one end of the earth to the other. But in the midst of the time of trouble that is coming, a time of trouble such as has not been since there was a nation, God's chosen people will stand unmoved. Satan and his host cannot destroy them, for angels that excel in strength will protect them. God's word to his people is, come out from among them, and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye shall show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God's people are to be distinguished as a people who serve him fully, wholeheartedly, taking no honor to themselves, and remembering that by a most solemn covenant they have bound themselves to serve the Lord and him only. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and refreshed. Notice that word, refreshed. Do not these words point us out as God's denominated people? And do they not declare us that so long as time shall last, we are to cherish the sacred denominational distinction placed upon us? The children of Israel were to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. The Sabbath has lost none of its meaning. It is still the sign between God and his people, and it will be so forever. In a special sense, Seventh-day Adventists have been sent to the world as watchmen and light bearers. To them has been entrusted the last warning for a perishing world. On them is shining wonderful light from the word of God. They have been given a work of the most solemn import, the proclamation of the first, second, and third angels' messages. There is no work of so great importance. They are to allow nothing else to absorb their attention. The most solemn truths ever entrusted to mortals have been given us to proclaim to the world. The proclamation of these truths is to be our work. The world is to be warned, and God's people are to be true to the trust committed to them. They are not to engage in speculation, neither are they to enter into business enterprises with unbelievers, for this would hinder them in their God-given work. Christ says of his people, Ye are the light of the world, Matthew 5:14. It is not a small matter that the counsels and plans of God have been so clearly opened to us. It is a wonderful privilege to be able to understand the will of God as revealed in the sure word of prophecy. This places on us a heavy responsibility. God expects us to impart to others the knowledge that he has given to us. It is his purpose that divine and human instrumentalities shall unite in the proclamation of the warning message. So far as his opportunities extend, everyone who has received the light of truth is under the same responsibility as was the prophet of Israel, to whom came the word, Son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. We are to be consecrated channels through which the heavenly life is to flow to others. The Holy Spirit is to animate and pervade the whole church, purifying and cementing hearts. Those who have been buried with Christ in baptism are to rise to newness of life, giving a living representation of the life of Christ. Upon us is laid a sacred charge. The commission has been given us. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. God has called us to do a work, a special work, especially in these times when all of the events we see occurring around us and the changes that are taking place, all of them foretold in the prophecies of God's word. We must hasten to do that which God has called us to do, so that we will fulfill the task that he has given us to fulfill. That men might hear the truth and turn to Christ. We thank you, Heavenly Father, again for reminding us of the task that you have given us. Today we ask that you would forgive us for opportunities overlooked and bypassed, and that you would help us in a new commitment today to go forward and do that which you have called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, July the 25th, 2019.